If you're joining us for the first time, we've been in this sermon series in Ecclesiastes. And the preacher, is how the author identifies himself, he's really been observing and considering what life is like under the sun. What is life like in this present life? As you look around, as you think about trying to find fulfillment, meaning and purpose under the sun, basically the preacher is asking us, how is that going for you guys? One of the things that the preacher wants us to at least take away with is when we start looking in the wrong places for these things, we experience something called hevel. We experience the sense of the fulfillment that we're looking for. It's fleeting. It's elusive. The meaning and purpose that we're wanting so badly to come from this one area of our life, when we're looking for it apart from God, we experience this hevel where it seems like it's so elusive. It leaves us so empty in our pursuit. And this is the kind of topics that the preacher has been taking us through. And as we look at chapter 5 today, what the preacher is going to challenge us to consider is that even when we come to church, we can experience this kind of hevel. Even when we come to, as the preacher says in chapter 5, the house of God, and I would imagine many of us, myself included, we can relate to that, where we come to a place like church, we should feel closer to God, and yet there are times when God can feel so distant. There are times when we can feel like, man, what's the point of coming? And this is what the preacher wants us to think about, how even in the church, we can experience this. And he wants us to consider how we draw near to God matters. Our attitude, our disposition, our posture when we come before God and try to draw near to God, it matters. And that's what we're going to be looking at in our passage today. And so please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and I'll read for us verses 1 through 7. But that's the context. We're thinking about when we're trying to draw near to God at church. I mean, we try to do that by ourselves when we go on walks, when we read the Bible at home. But the context that we're trying to think about is when we try to draw near to God at church. And that's the context. And so let's all stand as we once again, out of reverence for God's word, hear God speak to us from heaven through his word. May God give us ears to hear and eyes to see these beautiful truths about who God is. Ecclesiastes 5, I'll be reading from the ESV. This is God's word. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin. Do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there's vanity. But God is the one you must fear. Please be seated and let me pray for us. Oh Lord God, the preacher talks about drawing near to the house of God, trying to draw near to you. And Lord, as we come to church today, Lord, this is why we're here. We want to draw near to you. But Lord, there are so many times, even in our own hearts and in our own circumstances, where this becomes difficult for some reason. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us to see that even our attitude and how we draw near matters. Lord God, our attitude, our disposition, Lord God, how that puts us in a place where we can receive your grace and your mercy well. And so, Holy Spirit, help us to see how we might change and draw near to you today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the irony, as we think about what the preacher is saying, is, man, in the house of God at church, of all places, I would imagine that's where you would think about going when you want to draw near to God. It was the temple then, and it's the church today, but there's so much irony that even when you go to church, as a preacher saying, there can be vanity. You can experience this sort of hevel even when you go to church. And as I was thinking about this passage, I don't want you to think that I'm here high and mighty and I'm speaking to you guys. Man, this is for me too. When we all come to church and we're wanting to draw near to God, sometimes we have the wrong kind of attitude. We can have the wrong kind of disposition. And you know, the preacher, it's one of these sections in the book of the Bible where he's trying to speak truth to us in love. It may make us feel uncomfortable, but it's something that needs to be said. You know, he's asking us essentially, you know, why are you coming to church? Why do you go to church? What is it that you're expecting? Who are you expecting and anticipating to spend your time or meet when you go to church? You know, what are your expectations when you come? And as we think about drawing near to God, the three things that the preacher is going to address is how we need to come guarding our steps, how we need to come wanting to listen, drawing near to listen, and third, how we should be slow to speak. Those are some of the three themes that we see in our passage today, that as we try to draw near to God, the disposition, the attitude, the manner in which we come should be in ways where we are trying to guard our steps, where we're drawing near to listen. Now we should be slow to speak. And so let's think about these three things as we get into God's word today. You know, sometimes when we come to church, it can be so easy to forget that we come primarily to meet with God. Even for myself, I can come and I can forget, you know, I'm just here to give a sermon. I can be simply coming and think to myself, I'm here so I can talk with this person and that person about something else and hopefully eat great food during lunch. And even for myself, it can be so easy for me to forget, man, when I come to church, I'm coming here to meet with God. And what the preacher is saying when he says that we should guard our steps is we should keep watch over our steps. Think about where you are going. You know, when we think about Genesis 3 and when Moses encounters the burning bush, right? And God is there and he's speaking to Moses. Do you remember what he says to Moses as Moses is trying to draw near? He says, take your sandals off, right? For this is holy ground. As you're drawing near, essentially God is telling Moses, guard your steps. Remember where you're coming. You know, and Joshua experiences the same sort of thing when he's about to enter the land of Canaan and the angel, the commander of the Lord's army, confronts him and basically tells even Joshua, take off your sandals. And when we think about entering into God's presence, trying to draw near to God, essentially what the preacher is saying when he says, guard your steps, is, man, take God seriously when you come. Take God seriously when you come. If you look at verse 2, what does the preacher say? For God is in heaven and you are on earth. He's trying to help us remember who God is. God is in heaven and you are on earth. And he closes the section in verse 7 and talks about how God is the one you must fear. Another way that we can understand that is God is the one that you're to respect and to revere. Take God seriously when you draw near. And it makes me think about back in the day when there used to be hats, you know, with Jesus is my homeboy. I don't know if you guys ever saw that. But there was sometimes this culture of, you know, God is my friend. Jesus is my homeboy. You know, he's someone that's going to be there for me. And sometimes God's imminence, it's another fancy way to talk about it. Jesus being by your side, being with us. That's so important for us to hear, but aren't there times we also need to be reminded of God's transcendence? That even someone like Jesus, yes, through faith, he is your friend, but do you remember that he's also the king and the judge of the universe, of all people at all times? That when we draw near to God, there needs to be this sober reflection, there needs to be this seriousness. The preacher says, guard your steps. And we can so often lose sight of this, can't we? You know, we can so often lose sight of this and become so prideful when we draw near to God. We draw near and think, man, why isn't God doing this in my life? You know, doesn't he know how urgent this issue is, this matter is? And that pride can take so many different forms. You can easily come and forget who God is and become so critical, right? Man, I'm seeing so critical about this aspect of church or how this is run over here. And so often when we come, when we forget about God, we can become prideful and cynical, and we fail to come with the right disposition and attitude. And so the preacher is saying, man, when you draw near to God, we need to take God seriously. Guard your steps. But he goes on to say this in verse 1, right? He says, not only guard your steps, but when you draw near, what does he say? Draw near to listen. Draw near to listen. And we need to hear this. We need to hear this for so many different reasons, because there is a danger when we come to not listen. You know, when you think about Mary and Martha in the Gospels, what was the rebuke that Jesus had of Martha? She was so preoccupied with serving and doing that it was at the expense of listening, right? We're not saying that you shouldn't serve, that you shouldn't do anything. It was at the expense of listening. And so often when we come to church, and many of you guys serve in so many different ways, and that's something that I've been extremely thankful for, even in Andy's absence, that, man, there are so many people here at Living Faith that serve in so many different ways that, man, I mean, the church just resumes and goes on even when Andy is on a sabbatical, and I've been so thankful for that. But one of the dangers, even in our service and in our doing things at church, is we can be like Martha. We come and we draw near, but we forget that we're here to listen to God. Now, I would imagine for some of us, we need to hear this call to draw near and listen. Because when we sit down, sometimes we think, whew, I made it on time today. You know, and we sit down and then our mind sort of drifts off into what you could potentially be doing. Or you can easily drift off and think about what you're going to do after worship. Or the things that are waiting for you at work during the week or at school. And it's so easy for us to not listen when we come because we're thinking about all these other things. But the preacher says we need to draw near to listen. And I would imagine even something like community, it's so good and necessary in a church. But man, when you draw near simply for the community, man, we're missing out on the main reason why we're here. We're drawing near to listen to God, not to be entertained per se, but we're drawing near to listen to God. And I want to at least acknowledge that, you know, for those of you, the families that have young children, it's hard. With any children, it's hard. And for other reasons, for some of the other people in here, I'm sure there are other reasons in terms of why this can be difficult. But this is what the preacher is saying in verse 1. Not only guard your steps, but draw near to listen, because he says what? To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. When we think about this word listen, it's this Hebrew word shema. It's very deep, has a lot of nuances, has very deep connotations. When you think about this word shema, to listen, it means more than simply listening with your ears. And I would imagine for the kids that are here, or if you can think back to your own childhood, you know, when your parents ask you to do something, how often do the kids, when you're listening, do you just hear like, wah, 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 wah? And, you know, and when your dad or your mom asks you, are you listening to me? And the kid sometimes, you know, snaps out of it and says like, huh? We'd say that person is not listening, right? When you're talking to a child, asking them to do something, they're like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. But they end up not doing it later. We would wonder if that child was listening, right? So much of this word to listen, shema, it carries these connotations of, are we listening with the resolve or the intent to obey? That's what this word means. When we're drawing near to listen, what this word means is, are we drawing near to not only listen with our ears, but with our hearts, with the intent and the resolve to obey what we're hearing, the words of God? When you think about King Saul in the Bible, there was a time when God had asked Saul to basically devote everything to destruction. And basically, Saul saves the best of the oxen, the best of the sheep, and he wants to sacrifice those things to God. And Samuel confronts Saul. And he says this in 1 Samuel 15:22, and it carries this connotation of how listening with the resolve to obey is so important. When you read this in 1 Samuel 15:22, this is what Samuel is saying to King Saul. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. You know what the interesting thing about that verse? That word obey is actually Shema. You could literally read that as, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in listening to the voice of the Lord? Behold, to listen is better than sacrifice. It has these kind of connotations when we think about coming to listen. It's with this resolve to obey. But notice in that verse, he contrasts it to fools. People coming to offer the sacrifice of fools. What is the preacher talking about? The preacher is essentially saying, when we come to the house of God, when we try to draw near to God, there are some people who will come without the intent or the resolve to obey whatever is said that Sunday. They can care less about what's being taught, about what's being preached, about what the word says. They're simply here to go through the motions. They're simply here to do what they're supposed to do as a quote-unquote good Christian. It's all formalities. It's all a spiritual game that we're playing. And so often, even when we come to church, it can almost feel like just this game that we're playing where we're simply going through the motions. You know, we're simply waiting for it to end so that we can go back to our lives and have it resume as business as normal, as business as usual. And as we think about Proverbs 7, it has this imagery of this adulteress, this prostitute. And it totally captures the kind of attitude that the preacher is talking about here in terms of offering the sacrifice of fools. And I'm going to read this for us. It's going to be 7-8 verses, but think about this imagery and how so often we can come to church with this sort of attitude. And this is talking about, again, the prostitute as someone is passing by. And in Proverbs 7, it says this, that she seizes him and kisses him. And with bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I've come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. Goes on to say this in the next verses, I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. Doesn't that capture this attitude of you just simply coming and going through the motions just so that you can resume whatever you're doing outside of church? And again, this is truth spoken in love. You know, when we think about the preacher and God saying this to us, it's out of love. He wants us to draw near with the right kind of posture, the right kind of disposition. It really challenges us to think about, man, what is my disposition today? What is my attitude and my posture as I come before God today? Am I drawing near to listen? Am I drawing near to listen with the resolve to obey as hard as it might be? You know, we just sang earlier today about how God, through faith, He becomes to us a father. How He is a good father. How He is perfect in all of His ways. And when we think about listening to that kind of good father, can't we come with this resolve? Man, whatever He says to me today, it's for my good. It's for His glory. Yes, but absolutely, it's for my good. It stirs up this desire for us to want to obey because we have a good father. You know, David Gibson, he's another pastor, and he comments, you know, about this drawing near to listen and having this right sort of attitude and posture, and he writes this, that in the Bible from start to end, from the prophets to the Apostle Paul, there is a constant critique of those who oppress their neighbor and serve only themselves and yet turn up at their prayer meeting saying everything is fine. This is what the preacher's talking about. Are we coming with the right attitude and saying, man, I need a change. I need to be transformed by God today. God, I need to be changed today. Are we coming with this attitude, or is there such a disconnect between what we're listening and hearing and how we're living our lives? The preacher's saying, draw near to listen. But the majority of our passage today deals with this third aspect of being slow to speak. If you look at verse 2, the preacher says this, be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. He says, be not rash with your mouth and be not hasty with your heart. And so as we think about drawing near to God, what is the preacher talking about? How can we be rash and hasty with our words? And what the preacher is wanting us to consider is how we can often come and say things without thinking. You know, we come here, we sing songs, we're not really thinking about what we're singing, but we just sing it. We can come, and even during confession time, we go through the whole routine of confessing our sins. We're just kind of going through just the list, and we're saying it hastily. We're saying it rashly. We don't mean any of the things that we say. And this is one of Jesus' concern in the Sermon on the Mount when we think about Matthew 6, 7. And he's talking about how the Pharisees and how these people are praying. This is what he says in Matthew 6, 7. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases. Literally, you can interpret that as babbling. You know, when you pray, do not just babble as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. God isn't saying, come here and just be quiet and silent. The thrust of what the preacher and what the scripture says is, man, we need to think about what we're saying. We need to think about what we're saying. We shouldn't just simply say things because we're supposed to say them at church. Let's stop and slow down and think about what we're saying. You know, God doesn't just want us to come and just go through the motions and say things that we think he wants to hear. He wants us to be authentic. He wants us to bring our hearts to him. And I would imagine that for some of you, that means you're in a good season. And God is saying, man, bring your thankful hearts here. Let those words flow out as you bring your heart of thanksgiving here. Some of you guys are going through a season of difficulty right now. God is saying, don't just say things because you're supposed to say them. Man, if you're in a place where you're grieving and mourning, bring that heart here. Don't be rash. Don't be hasty with just saying things. Man, bring those words here. Are you in a place of brokenness? Are you tired and weary? God is saying, bring your heart here. And so much of what God is saying is it's not about the condition of your heart. It's about the direction. It's not about the condition of your heart. It's about the direction of your heart. Are you trying to deal with these things on your own, or are you bringing your heart to God? God is saying, be authentic. Bring your heart to him. And you know, and this is where a book like the Psalms, which we read from to start our worship, this is where the Psalms, it's so helpful because it shows us how we can bring our hearts to God in the condition that it's in. You know, when you read through the Psalms, you realize that so much of it is about lament. So much of it is about sometimes anger and frustration. And when we read through the Psalms, it really does teach us, man, this is what it looks like to bring our hearts to God. But you know, in this section, it goes on to talk about other ways that we can be rash and hasty with our words. And what he goes on to talk about in verses 3-7 is how so often we come and draw near to God simply because we want something from God. We come and draw near to God, not for God, not to worship him, but because we want something from him. You know, this past week, Mega Millions, $1.6 billion. I'm not ashamed, I bought tickets. I would imagine that many of you guys did too. But so easily when you think about, man, you want something, for God to do something in your life, man, this is why we draw near. And the preacher's saying, man, that's wrong. When we come and we're rash and hasty, we start saying things, God, can you help me become a millionaire overnight? When we come and we want things from God, he's saying, man, there's something wrong there. And I would imagine for some of you guys want to get married. Some of you guys want a job or a promotion in your job. Some of you guys want your children to grow up and become certain kinds of people because you're scared about what kind of person they'll become if they stay the way that they are. And so many times you can draw near to God because we want something from him. Look at what the preacher says in verse 3. For a dream comes with much business and a fool's voice with many words. And in verse 7 he says, for when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. And what the preacher is pointing out is, man, it's not wrong for you to dream. It's not wrong for you to want things. But man, when these dreams become your central and main priority, you come drawing near to God because you want him to do something about your dreams, the preacher's saying there's something wrong there. The words that come out of our mouths when our dreams increase, we have to be careful, the preacher's saying. We need to be slow to speak when dreams increase. And I would imagine that, myself included, we've come before God and said, man, God, if you'll just do this one thing, I will dot, dot, dot. I will finally go to community group, God. God, if you will just answer this one prayer request, and it's a good prayer request. God, you know it's good. Man, if you just answer this one prayer request, I will dot, dot, dot. And this is what the preacher is telling us to be careful about making all these sort of vows as dreams increase. And as I was reading this, some of you guys already know this story about my high school years, but it's this, I had dreams when I was in high school. I had dreams, and I had dreams of wanting to be popular and to be liked by everybody. And for me, that meant I had to go to every school dance. I had to go to prom. I had to go to all the homecomings. That was one of the things that I thought, I have to go there. I have dreams. And my senior year, there's a senior prom. And, you know, for me, I'm thinking, dude, everybody goes to that. Especially if you want to try to be popular, you know, you got to go to the senior prom. And I remember buying the bid, I remember buying the corsage, I remember getting all ready, and then I'm like, man, I didn't ask my dad. I didn't ask my parents if I can go. And I remember asking him, and he just straight up said no, and just walked away as if it was no big deal, right? And I remember being so distraught. I remember, this is very vivid, I remember kneeling down on my knees in the living room, over the couch, and I literally made these kind of vows. It's foolish. I'm like, God, if you can somehow help me to get to prom, I will become a pastor. No joke. No joke. I'm here, full sincerity. I love being a pastor. But when thinking about making vows, and when dreams increase, words grow many, I go back to that moment right away. I'm like, man, words were definitely many that night. I ended up disobeying my dad and going anyway, so it wasn't even an answered prayer request. But when words grow many, when our dreams increase, we got to be careful what comes out of our mouths. When dreams increase, it's really easy for your dreams to become the center. It's really easy when you draw near to God for God to no longer be at the center when you draw near. But the preacher is saying, man, when we draw near to God, we need to have the right kind of disposition, the right kind of attitude. And he's been challenging us. It's challenging, isn't it? I mean, it's challenging for me as well. That when we come, that we should be taking God seriously, that we shouldn't be just flippant about it, that we shouldn't just replace his grace with presumption. But man, we should take God seriously when we come. The preacher is saying, when we come, man, we need to draw near to listen with this resolve to obey. We need to come, and as we were just saying, being slow to speak, you know, and the psalmist in other places talks about being still, right? About having your heart become still as you sit before God. And I would imagine this word today, it's challenging for some of us, if not all of us. It's challenging. And some of us actually need to be encouraged to draw near to God in this way. Because what will happen is when we're wrestling and dealing with sin, there's a temptation to draw further away from God as opposed to drawing near him. When we are going through seasons of suffering, we need to be reminded of this encouragement to draw near, because when we go through suffering, we're going to want to drift away from God. When we're in seasons when we feel like there's silence and God isn't answering, that God doesn't care, man, we need to hear this word to draw near to God and have this sort of attitude and disposition. And can we end with this? I'm not sure if you noticed in the beginning of this, he says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Not if you can, but when. Do you realize that the reality that we live in because of Jesus is that it's a matter of when, it's not if. Jesus has made a way for us to draw near to God. And as the author of Hebrews says, we can draw near with confidence. We have a good Father. We have a good Father, and we can draw near to our Father in these ways. This is my prayer for you, and my hope is that this is your prayer, even for yourself. Let me pray for us. Lord God, drawing near to you in the ways that we can, Lord God, this has been purchased by the blood of Christ. How Christ, living the life that he did, dying the death that he did on a cross, Lord, he has made a way for us to now draw near to you, to enter into your courts, and to enter your presence not with fear, not with fear of condemnation, but Lord God, with great expectation of your grace and your mercy. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, we're all in different places circumstantially and even spiritually in our faith. Oh Lord God, won't you draw us in? Won't you help us to draw near to you? Lord, today, right now, as we continue worshiping you, oh Holy Spirit, help us to draw near so that we can taste and see, Lord, not only how beautiful you are, but how you are so, so good. Oh Father, we ask this in the precious and in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.